keeping you in touch with Michigan and the world.
You say you want a revolution. Well, you know, we all want to change the world. You tell me that it's
all right. Welcome back to it. Welcome back to it. The hotline number is 888-900-9966, 888-900-9966. You can get involved with the program. We're going to go to Rusty and Clarion real quickly before we get to our next guest. Rusty, welcome to the program.
Yeah, hey, Steve. Long-time caller, first-time listener. Just wanted to let you know that I think that the Democrats pumping up these charges for voter intimidation against Republicans is just another red herring to cover for the fact that they were sending people to create violence and incite violence at the Trump rally.
Well, they clearly were. Rusty, stop eating your phone because you're distorting it. You don't eat the thing. Just talk into it normally.
Yeah, working on it.
Yeah, I understand. Too much coffee today, Rusty? What's going on?
Little caffeine. I'm over-caffeinated, you know.
Right. Well, go wipe your phone, Rusty. Greatly appreciate the intimidation concerns coming from, which is true, by the way. The hotline number, 888-900-9966. Our next guest, Wendy McElroy, author of Rape Culture Hysteria, Fixing the Damage Done to Men and Women. Wendy, welcome to the program.
Thank you for having me.
This is, you know, I've discussed this on the program many times. I have a daughter who's younger and a son who's younger, and I fear much more for him than I do for her because of this, I don't know, this atmosphere of, you know, let's knock boys down, let's medicate them, let's make sure that they're not too aggressive or too loud, and make sure that they're focused on their attention. And by God, if a kindergartner kisses a kindergartner, let's get him thrown out of school for sexual harassment. I mean, to me, these are much bigger problems than my daughter may face. Right or wrong?
You're absolutely right. Especially when your son is ready to go on campus. One of the things he's going to have to surrender in order to get an education is his constitutional rights.
I thought he was going to have to surrender his testicles, and I don't say that to be crass. I say that because there is a war on boys and young men and men in this country like I've never seen. It's the, frankly, it's the neutering of America in many ways, because real men, if you will, men that are lumberjacks and electricians and climb poles or whatever it may be, seem to be something that's under attack every day. Am I right or wrong about that?
You're absolutely right. The rape culture idea is so pernicious. People really don't believe if you tell them, you know, the essence of it. But what it comes from is in 1975, Susan Brownmiller wrote a book called Against Our Will, and she said that rape was a conscious process of intimidation by which all men keep all women in a state of fear.
Oh, please.
Which means that you are keeping me in a state of fear right now.
Yeah.
Over the telephone. By the threat of rape.
Right.
Now, this is absurd.
It's garbage. It's absolute
it's
sewage.
Hate speech.
Yeah, it's sewage. It's a cesspool of nonsense. And that's exactly right. And when I have these conversations with my liberal friends, and yes, I have some folks, and I talk about the assault on the First Amendment, and they laugh and they give me a wave off, and there's no assault on the First Amendment. Of course there is. It comes from the mainstream media that pick and choose what they want to cover and how they cover it. And therefore they stifle free speech in that way. Then we talk about what you just said, Wendy. And then you say, and this is more critical, young men will need to, in effect, surrender their constitutional rights when they go on campus. What could be more near and dear to our hearts than the First Amendment? What do you mean by that?
Well, one of the things that's happened is the Department of Education, the federal government, is very much behind the rape culture idea. And it would be absurd, and we could laugh at it, if it weren't being institutionalized by law and policy. In 2011, the Department of Education's Civil Rights Bureau sent out a letter called the Dear Colleague Letter, which said to every university, every higher education facility in America, if you wish to continue federal funds, and everyone does, what you have to do is, if a young man is accused of rape or sexual misconduct, you must institute certain procedures legally. One of them was, for example, no longer would it be tried as a criminal matter, which is beyond a reasonable doubt. What it is be tried as a civil matter on those standards, which is a a preponderance of the evidence, 51%. That's the standard that's used in traffic courts to adjudicate speeding tickets. So a man's career, a young man's, your son's career, could be ruined.
Well, here's the other thing that I think that, and you're onto something here that I want to explore with Wendy McElroy here. She is the author of Rape Culture Hysteria, Fixing the Damage Done to Men and Women. Here's the problem, Wendy, that I think is bigger than just that, and that is rape, sexual assault, sexual harassment. These are the only crimes that I'm aware of in America that virtually need no proof. The accusation itself is enough. We know that if, for example, domestic violence, if the police are called to the scene of an alleged domestic violence case, somebody's going to jail. And almost invariably, it's going to be the man that goes to jail, whether there's proof of that or not, based solely on the allegation from a woman in that house, girlfriend, wife, whatever. And I've looked at this. I've studied this. This is the way it works. Somebody's going to jail. Almost invariably, it's the man. And there's the problem. No proof necessary.
Well, I have a bit of a different voice than you, because I actually lived on the streets as a teenager. I ran away from home, and I experienced a lot of violence, including rape. And one of the things that I resent the most about the rape culture hysteria is the idea of always believe the woman. And the reason I resent that is because valid rape claims of rape deserve to be investigated with an unbiased and eye, and presented to the public in a manner in which they will give them credit.
Correct.
If you say always believe the woman, why are we even have, if an accusation is the same as a guilty verdict, why do we even have trials? Why do we have hearings? Why do we investigate?
Well, I don't know that they do investigate. Look at some of these things, like the Rolling Stone, the bogus stories and stuff that are out there. I don't know that they do get investigated, Wendy, because the accusation, as you just aptly put, is almost as good as a conviction. It certainly is when it comes to many of these colleges and universities. You've watched this. Well, he harassed me. He raped me. When people don't even want to bring rape charges, the university's turning around and accusing students of rape when there's no victim coming forward.
That's happened over and over again. Even if the woman comes forward and says nothing happened, if in fact there is a third party that says, well, I saw it happen, and often what they're seeing are a couple has had too much to drink and has drunken sex, and because rape is now defined on campus, and it's starting to be defined on the main street as well, laws are starting to be introduced that define it this way as well, that if because of Title IX, it's always gender neutral. It's always, if someone has been drinking, they cannot be raped. In practice, it's always the woman who cannot be raped. If a couple if your son goes out with a woman and gets drunk, and both of them wake up the next morning, he has raped her. She has not raped him. Because that's always, in practice, how it occurs.
Wendy, we're going to have to continue this conversation, because this is an important conversation for anyone who has a son or a grandson or cares about real men, if you will, in this world. And we don't have enough time to continue. But what I'd like you to do is share with the folks here where they can find your book or your website, and then we will continue the conversation someday soon.
I hope so. Amazon is the answer to the question these days. If you say, where can you find your book?
Right.
Amazon, it's in print, it's in ebook. My blog is Wendy McElroy, MCELROY.com.
Wendy McElroy, it's been a great conversation, and we will continue it someday soon. Just out of pure interest in my own son's well-being. Back in a moment on Thursday.